Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis. In the previous Mishnah, we've been discussing the rule of various towns that have different minhagim at what time to burn the chametz, and then what you do when a person is traveling from town to town. So now we're going to go off of the road and discuss the same kind of concept in Shemitah, in a Shemitah format, meaning like this. There's two concepts to understand in order to, that we have to introduce to understand the Mishnah. And that's like this. During the Shemitah year, right, the seventh year, you got to get rid of all the fruit that's in your house and do a beer. You have to destroy it because it's Shemitah. Now the rule is, at what point do you have to destroy it? So the rule is, as long as there are animals in the field eating that type of food, then you can keep it in your house. But the moment the animals have been done eating it in the field, then you have to get rid of it from your house. So if you have carrots in your house, and you have cucumbers in your house, and you have carrots in the field, the cucumbers in the field. If the animals finished eating the carrots in the field, then you gotta get rid of the carrots in your house. If they finish eating the cucumbers in the field, then you gotta get rid of the cucumbers in your house. And that's the general rule. Okay? That's concept number one. And the second concept is that there are Eretz Yisrael is divided into three parts for the rules of Shemitah, to do beer, to get rid of the fruit in your house. Yehuda, Eber HaYarden, and Galil. And let's say in Yehuda, you have the tomatoes in the field have been consumed. So now, you have to get rid of the tomatoes in your house, right? But let's just say in Eber HaYarden or in Galil, you still have tomatoes around. So could the people in Yehuda say, hey, there's still tomatoes in the neighboring town, in their fields? Let me keep my tomatoes in my house, you know, around? Their answer is no. If in Yehuda the tomatoes in the field have been destroyed, then you have to get rid of the tomatoes in your house as long as you're in Yehuda. And Eber HaYarden and Galil are independent. They can keep operating like normal, right? And if you had carrots that are consumed in the field in Yehuda, then the carrots in the houses of Yehuda have to be destroyed. Even though in the neighboring towns in Eber HaYarden and Galil, they still have their carrots in the field for their animals, it doesn't matter. Each town is independent of its own. Okay, with those two concepts in mind, let's go straight into the Mishnah. Kiyotzebo, we find a similar pattern like we've been discussing in the previous Mishnah to here regarding Minhagim and regarding going from place to place. Hamoloch Peros Shvius, one who brings Peros of Shemitah, Mimakam Shekalu, Lamakam Shalokalu. Oh, Mimakam Shalokalu, Lamakam Shekalu. He goes from a town where they already finished, let's say we have carrots. So in the field, the carrots have been done, right? So the rule is in the house, you have to also get rid of your carrots now, right? But he is going now with these fruit, with these carrots to a town where in the field, the carrots are still all around. So maybe you could say, hey, let me eat my carrots and not get rid of them. And the same thing is in the flip case. In his town, they already finished all the carrots in the field. So he knows he has to get rid of the carrots in his house. But he goes and takes those carrots to a town where they didn't finish the carrots in the field. So now could he go ahead and eat them? So the rule is, chai lavar, in both cases, you have to destroy the carrots that you have in your hand, because we're stringent either way. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer mlo, say v'havilcha af'ata. Now, in order to understand what he means is like this. So really, Rabbi Yehuda holds just like the Tanakama, just like the Chachamim, that, you know, we're stringent either way. No matter what town you're coming from, no matter what town you're going to, we look at the town that has the stringency, and we apply it to you. So you're always going to have to get rid of what you have in your house, even if you're showing that, hey, in the other town, you know, they still have that kind of food in the field. It doesn't matter. We're always going to be stringent. But what these words are referring to is a different machlokas. Okay, so they agree, the Tanakam over here, but there's a different machlokas where they will argue. What's that machlokas? So the Gemara brings down a number of ways to explain this. We're going to go with the opinion of Rav Ashi, who explains as follows. If you have a barrel with three types of vegetables in it, carrots, tomatoes, and cucumbers, and then in the field you have the same type corresponding to it, okay? In this barrel, they're all pickled together in vinegar or in salt water, so they're all, you know, pickled and juiced in this barrel. So what happens if one of the minim, you know, in the field are consumed? So what's the rule, right? So it's a three-way machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says that if even one of the types of vegetables that you have in your barrel are consumed in the field, then all of the vegetables in the barrel have to be burnt and get gotten rid of for Shemitah. Rabbi Yeshua says the exact opposite, that if as long as one of the minim in the field are around, you could eat everything in the barrel, even from the minim in the barrel that have vegetables in the field that have already been consumed, right? So technically you should be getting rid of them. He says the exact opposite of Rabbi Eliezer. As long as one of the minim are around, you have tomatoes, cucumbers, and carrots in the barrel, and the same in the field, and the tomatoes and cucumbers have been consumed, but not the carrots, you can eat everything in the barrel. One in the field will keep everything in the barrel alive. So exact opposite of Rabbi Eliezer. And then Rabbi Gamliel holds that we just go by each min. If the carrots in the field have been consumed, get rid of the carrots in the barrel. If the tomatoes in the field have been consumed, get rid of the tomatoes in the barrel, etc. So this is a three-way machlokas. So the last words of the Mishnah of, where it says, Tzei go v'havilcha af ata, it's just corresponding to this Mishnah that the Tanakhama, our Tanakhama, goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, who's very lenient, who says as long as one of the minim in the field are around, you can eat everything in the barrel. And the Yehuda will go like Rabbi Gamliel, that we go by each min, you know, if whatever is around in the field, that you can eat from the barrel, and whatever is not around in the field, you can't eat from the barrel. So it's totally separate Mishnah, and here, you know, there's a machlokas in the Chum of Yehuda, you know, the Yehuda goes like Rabbi Gamliel, and the Chum goes like Rabbi Yoshua. But in our Mishnah, they're both in the same team, and that concludes Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel, another, you know, Mishnah, you know, off of the path regarding minhagim. So what about a makam shenhagu limkar behemagasi? You have a town where the minhag is to sell a behemadaka. I'm sorry. The minhag is to sell a small cow. Makam shenhagu limkar behemadaka. A place where the minhag is to sell a small animal. Lagayim to the gayim. Maichin, you can sell the small animal to the gayim. Makam shenhagu shlo limkar. If you have a town where they don't sell small animals to the gayim, you can't sell it to the guy. Small animals here refers to ezim, goats, kvasim, and lambs. And in all places, you cannot sell to them a big animal like a cow or a female cow. So what's going on over here? So the rule is like this. The Chachamim made a gezeira, okay, that you cannot sell big animals to Gaim at all. Why? Lest you come and start lending to them or renting to them, and then if the guy uses this big animal on Shabbos, you get the sin because it's your animal and you're commanded to make sure your animal rests on Shabbos. So they went as far as to say you can't sell big animals to Goyim, even though it's a complete sale, lest you come and rent it or lend it to them, then they're going to use it on Shabbos, and then your animal's working on Shabbos. Or a different reason was that sometimes you'll sell it very, very close to Shabbos. Even if you say, I'm not going to lend it, I'm not going to rent it. Right? I'm only going to do the sale. But you'll sell it very, very close to Shabbos, right by Shkia. And then the guy is going to want to see that, you know, it's a good animal. And he's going to say, hey, you know, go make the animal crawl or whatever. And you're going to scream at the animal to do a command. And it's already going to be nightfall. And the animal will listen to the command and start walking around and working for you. And you didn't even realize it, but it's already Shabbos. And you're making your animal work again. So either way, the idea is that they're concerned that even though selling a big animal, you know, there shouldn't be any problems because the guy will acquire and own it as, and it'll be totally his. We have two concerns of either you'll sell it too close to Shabbos and you'll make it work, you know, while still under your ownership. Or we're concerned that could be the sale will be a perfectly good sale. You'll sell it to him on Tuesday. But then you'll start lending to him and renting to him your own animals and then he'll make them work on Shabbos and that's going to be your problem. So that's across the board. You can't sell now even big animals, you can't sell big animals to the Goyim. And then there are some towns now that went as far as to say that we won't even sell small animals, like little goats or lambs, because we don't want to come to sell big animals as well. Even though small animals, you know, won't be working on Shabbos, they're small, but they made a gezeira, we're not going to sell small, lest we come to sell big. And if you come to sell big, right, then you're going to come to lend to them. If you lend to them, they're going to make it work on Shabbos, and that's going to be your problem. So they were more stringent, and they said even small animals we won't sell to Goyim. And whereby other towns said that no, the small animals will sell because there's no gezeira on them. But of course, the big animals, that's across the board, that we won't sell because of this gezeira. Okay, so big animals is across the board, you can't sell at all. Small animals, which is like goats and lambs, depends on which town you're from, if you're going to be stringent or not. What about a galam usiachim? You have a baby calf or a baby donkey. So it's not like, even though we discussed small animals already, those are goats and lambs, not going to work. But a baby calf and a baby donkey, they may not be working now, but later on they will work. So therefore, you can't sell even a baby calf or a baby donkey, according to everybody, because since one day they will start working, right? So then we have the same gezeira as before. Don't sell baby calf or baby donkey, unless you lend baby calf or baby donkey to the guy, and then you'll lend it to him when they get bigger also, and then you'll have the same problem of it working on Shabbos. Shleiman or Shavuran, if they're complete, or if they have broken limbs, whether the calf or the donkey is complete or has a broken limb, you can't sell it to a guy, and you can't sell it to a guy in general, is across the board, because even the ones that have broken limbs, they could do things like, you know, grinding the mill and just, you know, more menial work, and therefore, according to everybody, you can't sell the a complete or a broken baby calf or a baby donkey. Rabbi Yehuda argues he permits selling a baby calf that has a broken limb or something, because that they're going to just buy to shecht it and eat it, and you're not going to have any problems there. And Ben Becerra Mati Besus, Ben Becerra says it's permitted to always sell a horse, or you could sell or even rent or lend. Rabbi Ben Becerra says even rent or lend a horse to a guy. Why? Because the horse, they didn't make it work. They only used it for riding. And the rule is, for riding, really, a chai is nosius asma. A live being can hold itself. So you're not really carrying the rider. And riding itself, anyways, is a gzeira midrabanan. So therefore, you could sell or rent or lease or lend your horse to a guy. Because according to Ben Becerra, there's no concern there at all. Not for work, because they don't make it to work. And not for riding, because number one, riding is only a rabbinic gzeira. Number two, a chai, a live person, is nosius asma, carries himself. So a person who rides the horse is holding himself really in the air. And we don't look at it as if the horse is, you know, holding the donkey, holding the person. And therefore, it wouldn't be a problem, according to Ben Becerra. And that wraps up Mishneh Gemara.